Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everyone, to the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to be with you today. A lot on tap for this hour of the show. We'll be talking to our professor of sports from Toronto, John Poulter. He's going to touch on the Yankees, Dodgers, and Rangers as we enter into spring training, which starts this weekend. We'll be talking with Jeff Rich, NBA basketball. He's from the Sports Byline USA Network. Also, Josh Sclair, our intern from DePaul University, will join us in that segment. Paul Banks from the Sports Bank, from sportsbank.net, will be joining us later in the program, talking college basketball. Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago will touch on soccer later in the show. And John Poulter also will have a bit of hockey discussion later in the program. All of that coming up. But I'm going to my first Brewers spring training game this weekend. It kicks off. I love it because, you know, I always like to see the Brewers when they're in contention. Spring training. And, of course, we have the Racing Sausages that'll be in around the seventh inning of that game. They only do from first base to home plate. They don't do the full round of bases in spring training because they're also training. So I'll be able to check that out this weekend. And, of course, the beer will be flowing there at Merivale Stadium in Merivale, Arizona. The Cactus League, the Brewers, and the Dodgers. And also the Clements Bratwurst will be going. Okay, so that's happening in Arizona. Of course, the Cubs train here, too. That's always a madhouse at their stadium. Some NFL news this week. The Hall of Fame game will be played on Thursday, August 3rd, to kick off the NFL preseason. Usually they play it on a Sunday, but now they're starting Thursday. They're going to kick the whole weekend off of festivities with that game at the new Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton, Ohio. A couple of guys going into the Hall of Fame this year. Kurt Warner, he played for the Rams, then the Giants, and then ultimately the Cardinals. I kind of like him as a pick, but I don't know if he ranks up there with the greats that really belong in the Hall of Fame. But he did make it, so we have to give him credit there. And from the Dallas Cowboys, owner Jerry Jones. His team, since he's owned it, has barely had a winning percentage over 500. But I guess they're putting him in because he's been a contributor to the growth of the NFL. Hey, change those gunshots up. Give me the other ones. Oh, yes, the galloping gunshots. I like those. There we go. So those guys going in, the Hall of Fame game will be played on a Thursday. The rest of the year's class of Hall of Fame inductees include Terrell Davis and LaDainian Tomlinson, Jason Taylor from the old days, Kenny Easley, and kicker Morton Anderson, all going into the Hall of Fame for the NFL. We got a lot coming up on the show, so stick around. You're listening to the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. We got John Poulter from Toronto and Steve Leventhal, SRN Broadcasting, coming up when we return. Be your own boss. Listen to this from Home Improvement USA. Perfect Dreamer Sleep Shops can set you up with your own mattress distribution center, offering name brand mattresses at a fraction of the cost of traditional retail stores. They combine factory direct pricing with their exclusive no-cost furniture broker marketing system that allows you to substantially undercut retail store prices while generating amazing profits. Getting started with a Perfect Dreamer Sleep Shop is easy, with an initial investment under $5,000. They've been around for decades, have over 100 sleep shops across the country, and are rated A+. With the Better Business Bureau and other consumer review sites. Let us walk you through it.
Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. That's 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. Be your own boss. Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com.
Are you behind on your taxes? The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote at 800-718-1731. 800-718-1731.
Packer Dave, this is Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball, and you know, when we think of Cheeseheads in Wisconsin, your name immediately comes to mind. Not only Cheesehead, but Curdle Cheese. When they talk about Curdle Cheese, letting it go sour, it's you, Dave, and we thank you for that, Packer Dave.
And thank you, Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker. He will be in Merivale in the month of the end of this month, February, the beginning, all of March for spring training, and great to see him still doing this job for the Brewers. Started in the very early 70s as play-by-play announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers along with Merle Harmon, and he's still doing it today for Milwaukee. I'm Packer Dave. I'm joined by Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. Later in this segment, we'll be talking to Jeff Rich about NBA basketball. At that time, we'll bring in our intern from DePaul University that's working with us right now, Josh Sclair. Sclair. I've mispronounced it in the past, but I'm right now. Josh Sclair. And Steve from SRN. You know, you got Bob Uecker still here, but Vin Scully, he's not going to be doing it this year.
And he's been certainly did it. Four, five, 6 decades worth of baseball. So, you know, happy retirements to him.
All right. And to talk baseball, we're going to touch on some major league teams right now, what their prospects are for 2017. From Toronto, our professor of sports, John Poulter. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, guys. How are you two today?
Fine. How are you, Steve?
Absolutely magnificent.
Okay, John, let's start with the Yankees.
Well, the Yankees finished 84-78 last year, which was good enough for fourth in the AL East. And while that might be good enough for a lot of teams, clearly not something that the Yankees are very comfortable with, a very unfamiliar spot for them. And they're kind of in a transition or a remake, whichever way you want to describe it. Last year, they traded both of their bullpen aces, Aroldis Chapman and Andrew Miller, in and around the trading deadline in July for a bushel of prospects. And then they went out and re-signed Chapman over the winter to assume the closer role. That signing moves Dellin Betances back into a setup role, and that's probably a role which he's more likely suited to at this stage of his career. But after losing his arbitration hearing, there were some harsh words between Betances and his agent and the Yankees. And I just wonder how that's going to affect them, or if it's going to affect them going forward. It's going to be very interesting to see if there's any fallout from that. And, you know, for the first time in a long time, the Yankees are trying to build from within rather than spending their way to success. And this is very, very unique for that franchise. Positively, Gary Sanchez came into the lineup in the second half, not only caught well, controlled the running game, that enabled the Yankees to trade Brian McCann, but he also hit .299 with 20 home runs and 42 ribbies in just 201 at-bats. So you can protract that out over a full season of 600 at bats, you're going to get some pretty good numbers. I don't think it's a pace that's sustainable over 600 at bats, but it does show that there's potential for a solid season from Sanchez, and perhaps they have found their next catcher. Aaron Judge and Greg Bird in right field and first base, respectively, also broke into the lineup mid-season, and they'll get a chance to show what they can do over a full season. The rotation seems to be the weakest link for the Yankees in 2017. Tanaka, Pineda are slated for the top two spots, and veteran CC Sabathia seems to have fallen to number three. Severino seems to have the inside track on the number four spot, but after that, it's pretty uncertain. Joe Girardi, as the manager, has done a reasonable job in a very pressure cooker situation, but you have to wonder sort of how long the ownership is going to continue to be patient with him if there isn't some significant improvement in 2017. Clearly, it's not his fault that players get old and players get hurt and players retire, but we all know how the Yankees view mediocrity in the standings. So I think it's very much a transition year for the Yankees. They're likely still behind the Red Sox and at least one of the Orioles and the Blue Jays. So I don't think we're going to see the Yankees in the postseason, but hopefully for Yankee fans, we're going to see some progress over 2016.
Okay, and we touched on Vin Scully. Let's talk about the Dodgers.
Yeah, he's probably going to be the biggest change in Los Angeles. 67 years broadcasting Dodger baseball, going all the way back to their time when they were still in Brooklyn. Definitely an icon, not only a man who served a team for longevity, but served it in an outstanding capacity. And he's certainly going to be missed, and I feel sorry for the person or persons that are going to try and take over for him, because it doesn't matter how good they are, they're not going to be Vin Scully, and everyone's going to make that comparison. But from an on-the-field standpoint, the Dodgers were 91-71 last year, first in the National League West for the fifth consecutive time, but no World Series appearances in those five championship seasons. So clearly there's some work to be done there. I think Dave Roberts did a very good job managing the team in 2016. And perhaps without the collapse of the San Francisco Giants in the second half, the Dodgers might easily have found themselves in second place last year. So I really don't know whether they had a good team last year or whether everything just kind of fell into place for them. They still continue to spend money, even though Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi both have reputations from a front office standpoint for building teams on analytics and building them on the cheap. Pitching-wise, after Clayton Kershaw, the starting rotation is deep, but it certainly is not exceptional. They need to stay healthy, and the four other members of the rotation have to come in and have above-average years. Rich Hill, Kenta Maeda, Urias, and Scott Kazmir were a combined 43-24 last year, or an average of 7-6. Clearly, it needs to be better if the Dodgers want to contend and show from a pitching standpoint. Kenley Jansen's re-signing fills a big worry at the back end of the bullpen. He had 47 saves last year. The rest of the bullpen is pretty deep in numbers, but certainly not deep in experience or success. Position-wise, there's a lot of talent and a lot of experience on that team. One of the big worries for them is going to be some elbow tendonitis for first baseman Adrian Gonzalez. Replacing 18 homers, 90 runs batted in, and a .285 batting average won't be easy if he's out for any length of time. I understand he's, quote, day-to-day, but it's spring training, so obviously they're taking the cautious route with him. Corey Seager and Justin Turner are solid at short and third, respectively, but second might be in a transition. Chase Utley may see a lot of his playing time go to Logan Forsythe, who came over from Tampa Bay in a trade, so that'll be an interesting thing to watch as well. Yes, Manny Grandal is still solid behind the plate. In the outfield, Peterson's a fixture in center. Andre Tolles is expected to start in left, but Yasiel Puig is always something of an unknown factor in right. Do the Dodgers get the guy with unlimited potential and the ability of a top guy, or do they get the up-and-down guy they've seen the last 2 years? He still needs to mature, so I guess time is going to tell there. Overall, Dodgers should be in a two-team battle with the Giants for first in the National League West. The keys are more production from the rotation, as we mentioned. And then after Kershaw, the health of Gonzalez and to some extent Turner will be keys. So going to be a tough road to hoe for the Dodgers to win six in a row. I think the Giants are going to push them very hard, and I'm looking forward to that being a good, strong two-team race right into September.
That's the Dodgers. John, you know, you've been going quite a bit here. Do you need to take a drink of water at all, or a bathroom break, or stretch? You want to stretch at all? You okay?
No, I can always stand up and stretch if I need to.
He's the Energizer Bunny.
All right, let's touch.
I'm not sure it's going to make me any taller, but at least I can stretch my legs.
All right. How about the Texas Rangers now as we wrap up the baseball portion?
Well, last year, Texas was 95 and 67, most wins in the American League, American League champions, American League West champions for the second consecutive year. And for the second consecutive year, they lost to Toronto in the American League Division Series. I can't pass up the opportunity to mention that they ran into that brick wall called the Blue Jays a couple of times. I guess their biggest concern over the wintertime from a position standpoint was the loss of outfielder Ian Desmond. He signed with Colorado. That's a role that has to be filled. But if Shin-Soo Choo can stay healthy all year, that's going to solve a good piece of replacing Desmond's offense. Choo was limited to, I think, about 48 games last year due to a fractured forearm. I think this year he's expected to primarily DH, which will obviously reduce the possibility of injuries. They signed Mike Napoli, who was with Cleveland last year, to play first base, and that's going to solidify what was looking like it was going to be a bit of a problem position. And Napoli can also DH when he needs a rest. So the power is there. I mean, clearly, that's a team that's always been reliant on its offense. The Rangers had the third highest ERA in the American League last year. I think it was 4.37. So clearly, they need the offense to continue to win. One of the things they looked at in the offseason was upgrading the rotation, which behind Cole Hamels and Yu Darvish was pretty mediocre in 2016. So they went out and signed Andrew Kashner to a one-year, $10 million contract to take one of those spots. Bit of a gamble. He's not been consistent over the years, but you know, clearly it's the old story. It's 1 year and it's only money. So I guess they figured they had to do something. The bullpen is still one of their strengths. Sam Dyson is the closer. He was 38 for 43 in saves last year. They've got good setup man in Matt Bush and Tony Barnett and Keon Kayla. One of the things they're going to have to look at replacing, at least short term, is one of their other bullpen guys, Jake Diekman, who's going to be out until at least the All-Star break because of some colon surgery. So a little bit of work to be done in that standpoint. Third base, Adrian Beltre, 32 homers, 104 RBIs, continues to play Gold Glove defense. He's clearly the leader on that team. Maybe outside of Mike Trout, he might be the best all-around player in that division. He's suffering from a left calf strain right now, so they're taking it easy with him. Again, it's only spring training. Why push it? Andrus and Odor are solid at second and short. In the outfield, converted middle infielder Jurickson Profar is going to try and play left field this year with Gomez in center and last year's surprise rookie Nomar Mazara in right. So there's lots of potential there. Jonathan Lucroy, who came over from your Brewers, Dave, at the trade deadline, is going to strengthen the catching spot and will get his first full year there. Prospect-wise for the season, I think the Astros have strengthened themselves tremendously over the winter, and that's going to give Texas a real tough run for their third straight AL West title. I think it's going to be a challenge. Right now, I think it's a toss-up. I think my money would still be on the Astros because I think the Astros have a better pitching staff, but Texas is certainly going to be there at the end of the season and probably a candidate for a wild card spot.
All right, John Poulter from Toronto. We'll talk to you later in the program regarding NHL and a little soccer. So we will talk to you about a half hour from now, John, okay?
All righty, we'll check back in.
All right, we'll be talking to you then. Now to talk basketball, we bring in from the Sports Byline USA radio network. You can hear him Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. That's 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time at sportsbyline.com. He is Jeff Rich. Jeff, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really well. I actually have some exciting news for you guys. The Sports Byline show has been rebranded. It will be Dorf on Sports with Jeff Rich. So I get to be the with Jeff Rich. That's pretty cool.
Okay. I just thought you were just part of the overall, you know, network, not just one show, but, you know, you air on that show on Sunday. Sometimes they rebroadcast it. You know, you're more than just one show, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Dorf and I have co-hosted Sports Overnight America on that on the Sports Byline Network. It's a good opportunity. It's a good way to get ourselves out there. And it really doesn't limit us to one scope. I mean, we could talk about just about anything on the national stage, as well as talk about what's going on right here in our backyard in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's great, Jeff. Do you actually talk directly into the mic on that show as opposed to this one?
More often I try.
Okay. Are you steady?
We've got a show with listeners.
Sure you do. Do you? You do, as a matter of fact. I know you do. Do you have the microphone set, and are we good to go right now?
Can you hear me? Am I okay?
I can hear you. All right. Okay. And you are on with Josh Sclair, our intern from DePaul, and Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. Now, you yourself were at the ASU-UCLA game Thursday night.
Yeah, it was a good opportunity to see, you know, some of the best players in the country. You know, they all played for the visiting team. But really my first taste of Bob Hurley as a head coach in the Arizona State fan section, known as the Curtain of Distraction, which tries to do certain gimmicks. They've had Michael Phelps. They've had Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And the whole idea is just to be ridiculous and, make the visiting team miss their free throws. It wasn't so effective as UCLA won in a rout on Thursday night. But it was, it's an experience. You know, I forget how Wells Fargo Arena there in Tempe. It's kind of a quiet giant there. It is the biggest arena in the Pac-12.
All right, now let's move to the NBA, Jeff. Magic Johnson takes over in Los Angeles. What impact does that have?
It depends on which Magic Johnson you get. If you get the guy that ran his movie theaters, I think that they have a good chance of success. I mean, the team president is the face of the franchise. You know, more so than their duties, they're figureheads. You know, Pat Riley's made some savvy moves there in Miami, but he's got the stature of Pat Riley. And, you know, I think that that's what Jeannie Buss is looking for, putting Magic in charge. Now, you got to keep in mind, talk show didn't work. Coaching didn't work. You know, he's had some business ventures that have failed. So can Magic Johnson be a savvy front office type? I don't think so. Can he put the right people around him, and will he draw the right names in? I think that it would be foolish for the Lakers not to at least explore bringing Kobe Bryant back into the franchise, given everything that he was. And Kobe strikes me as a, not to take anything away from Magic, but Kobe strikes me as a guy that would be really well placed in a front office role. You know, probably not as the GM right away, but the jury's got to be out on Magic. I mean, I think that there's a good chance that it doesn't work, but I think that there could be success there just because of the stature of being Magic Johnson, being literally Mr. Laker.
Does Kobe want to do something like that?
I would imagine, you know, it's nice to take a year away from the game like he has. I mean, we haven't even completed a full season in the association without Kobe Bryant, playing basketball. So, let's see how much he misses work. You know, I mean, I got to imagine, Kobe's about my age, 39, 40 years old there. I got to imagine it's nice to not work every day. I mean, he's been grinding literally since high school. Going right from Philadelphia, Laurie Marion High School in Philadelphia to the Los Angeles Lakers by way of the Charlotte Hornets. You got to think that the thirst is still there, especially when you're so recently retired from playing the game.
All right, Jeff, Rich is with us from the Sports Byline USA Network. Josh, go ahead on this.
You know, I think that Kobe Bryant is one of the all-time greats. I could see him coming back as maybe a players consultant, helping to develop players, helping to teach them some moves. But I think at this point in his career, Kobe, as you know, he had the documentary. I think at this point he is getting into the film business, I believe, and I think that's what he's probably going to focus on going forward. I could see him maybe down the line doing it, but I think for someone like him, I just don't see him coming back, at least definitely not this year or next year. I think, he wants to take some time away from the game and develop his own kind of craft. And then maybe, after a little bit, they could see him coming back. I mean, Steve Nash did, but he didn't go to the Warriors until, I believe, about 2 years ago. And, I mean, in my opinion, Steve Nash was also it could help because Steve Nash was one of those guys who I think helped recruit Kevin Durant to come to the Warriors. So I could see some of that happening because I think I think Kobe, along with a guy like Magic Johnson, is going to help them with free agents. But outside of getting big-name free agents, I think Magic's just too busy to really handle everything that goes on with the Lakers.
Yeah, you know what, with Kobe, that's a great question, Josh. You know, there's something definitely to be said for diversity. Like, everybody wants to do different things with their life. And being a basketball player, you know, your entire adulthood from 18 to about 40, you look for other ventures. You know, I think back in the days of Napster, I actually downloaded a Kobe Bryant rap that was in Italian. You know, he's a very intelligent person, you know, son of an NBA player. So not quite the rough upbringing that, you know, a lot of the young players in the NBA have dealt with, you know, going through high school where they needed that paycheck right away. And Hollywood seems to be the hot ticket for these NBA players. You know, that's what, you know, LeBron's, investing in a Hollywood film company. And, you know, he's the executive producer of The Wall. So I think that people see LeBron doing that. And, you know, you've seen Michael Jordan have outside business interests. And, you know, if it's away from basketball, that's fine. I mean, nobody's forcing these guys to do so. But again, you know, with Magic, even with Kobe, it would be about putting the right people around you. You know, this isn't front office isn't the ideal situation for former players, you know, as much as it is the Ivy League types, as analytics kind of takes over sports in today's landscape.
Okay, Steve, now the Bulls made a trade, and you have some audio regarding this.
Yes, Dave, the Bulls general manager, Gar Forman, he explains why they made this trade.
You know, John mentioned we love Taj. I mean, Taj has been absolutely terrific for this organization. Who knows where that was going to go this summer? And obviously, as he aged, it didn't fit with the plan of what we're trying to accomplish over these next couple of years.
Still, McDermott was a guy that you drafted to move forward in the first round. He is gone.
Right.
People would look at that and say that's a step backwards.
Well, we're looking at a step forward because of some of the opportunity that presented itself to get a guy like Cam Payne and then get a look at LaVerne.
So the Bulls get Cameron Payne and Anthony Morrow, guards, and center forward Joffrey LaVerne from Oklahoma City. And Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott go there along with a 2018 second round pick. And the Bulls hovering right around 500 now. The Milwaukee Bucks have won 3 in a row. They're right now would be the 9th seed in the Eastern Conference. So, Jeff, looking at the Eastern Conference, how will this shake up with the bottom tier of the playoff teams? That's going to be hard to determine because they're all bunched up there.
They are all bunched up, but you know, none of them are spectacular teams. When you let 8 in, 9 can't really gripe. You know, it's more of a college football conversation. But the bottom of the playoffs, man, that's where you don't want to be. Whether you make it or not, you know that you're going to get slaughtered by the Cavaliers or the Celtics. Early on in the playoffs, and you know, is it worth it to get maybe that one extra home game? You know, if you're the owner of a team, or should the NBA playoffs abbreviate themselves? I look at this as I think the Bucks are heating up. I think that the Pistons already had their surge, and you know, the Bulls are, you know, the Bulls, Pacers, Hawks, they're right where they, you know, you'd think they should be in a very weak East.
Okay, and let's look at the West and your comments out there.
In the West, man, I mean, just a lot of depth, but I mean, you look at it, do we need a 25-32 Nuggets team to go play Golden State? I know that we're really excited about the Pelicans. That's the trade that I don't think we've talked about that happened on All-Star Sunday. You know, DeMarcus Cousins teaming up with Anthony Davis there. That's going to be a pretty strong pairing there. And I think that is the only interesting team at the bottom or outside of the playoff race as it stands right now that could give the Warriors fits in the first round. I mean, nobody thinks that the Warriors aren't going to make the finals, you know, unless you're all in on the Spurs or the Rockets this year. But the Thunder intrigue me. You know, a Thunder Warrior series would obviously be headline worthy, but you know, I think we saw about 2 weeks ago what happens when these two teams get together on the floor. There's a lot of emotion, but there's just not enough talent coming out of Oklahoma City to really stay on the floor with the best team in the West.
And I know we had those two sort of, I wouldn't call marquee trades, but, you know, Jeff and Josh, maybe you guys can address this. I thought the bigger story, as I understood it, was the trades that weren't made.
Well, Carmelo Anthony is probably the headliner of that. You know, everybody wants to team him up with LeBron James, but there's just not a move that makes sense. You know, Patrick Beverley was another guy that the Cavaliers were targeting, you know, and they're, you know, because of their salary cap situation, I mean, they're going to be way over the, you know, they're paying luxury tax on whoever they pick up. But, you know, they're trying to get it done with, you know, guys like Larry Sanders and Derek Williams that are castoffs. You know, they are going to end up signing a bought out player at some point here. But Patrick Beverley was a guy that they were pursuing from the Houston Rockets that, you know, is a great defensive asset, a great backup to Kyrie Irving potentially. And the Rockets just didn't think Cleveland made the right offer for him.
When I look at the trades that were made, I think that a team like Houston, I look at a team like Houston picking up the second, the leading scorer off the bench in the NBA to pair with the second leading scorer off the bench in the NBA. Now that's 35 points coming off your bench. They have five of the best three-point shooters in the NBA now, and that's a very deadly team. I look at the Raptors, and I think this team loaded up. They finally got the backup set, small forward they needed to replace Terrence Ross, and I think that there's definitely a good chance this team can make a run at Cleveland, I think. But I look at a team like Cleveland, and there's reports coming that they're going to sign Deron Williams when he's bought out, as well as Andrew Bogut if he is bought out as well, which could be very interesting. And I think it's going to be a very interesting time because not only it's a trade deadline, which is very important, but it's also who gets signed after they are bought out of their contract, which is also very important. It's what moves the contenders make, and when they're bought out, the players are bought out that are really going to be those moves that can define a team that goes to the finals.
And yeah, Tyreke Evans not going back to Sacramento. I think that that's a guy that's got to be on the Cavaliers' radar even more so than some of these guys that, you know, are just free agents right now, like a guy like Mario Chalmers, who LeBron is very familiar with. Bogut, you know, I see the Cavs, if they do sign Bogut, as a preventative move to prevent him from going back to Golden State. I think that that was one subtraction that's hurt Golden State, if you can nitpick and find something that's wrong with them this season.
And if I can circle back to the Bulls for just 1 second, I asked Phil Myers, who's you know, the SRN assistant sports director, about why the Bulls made this trade, which was seemingly one-sided. And he basically offered up that the Bulls had very little chance of re-signing Taj Gibson, so it was a way of getting something out of nothing.
Yeah, and a lot of these trades are just that. I mean, you know, you see a decent player moving for a second-round pick if the money's, you know, it's all about the money, you know, evening the money out in the NBA, you know, and whether you got to throw picks into, you know, or exemptions into to make it happen. I mean, you could see clear winners and losers in this in these trades if you're keeping score, but that's, you know, it's about improving your own team, and I don't think that you can look at you know, what you let get away in a trade, especially when you're talking about expiring contracts like Gibson's.
Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline USA Network. Listen to him Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Time at sportsbyline.com. Jeff, thanks very much for coming on the show, and we will be talking to you next week.
Hey, we'll have some spring training games in our back pocket when we speak next week. I look forward to it.
Absolutely. All right, and we'll be back with a lot more talking college basketball here on the Sports Report with Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. I'm Packer Dave. Hang around. Be your own boss. Listen to this from Home Improvement USA. Ideal Furniture can set you up with your own furniture distribution center. You can offer name brand mattress and furniture at a fraction of the cost of traditional retail stores. They combine factory direct pricing with their exclusive no-cost furniture broker marketing system that allows you to substantially undercut retail store prices while generating amazing profits. Getting started with Ideal Furniture is easy with an initial investment under $10,000. They've been around for decades, have over 110 distribution centers across the country, and are rated A+. With the Better Business Bureau and other consumer review sites. Let us walk you through it.
Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. That's 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. Be your own boss. Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com.
Are you behind on your taxes? The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote at 800-718-1731. 800-718-1731.
Hey, Packer Davis, this is Nicky V, man. I'll tell you one thing. You're not all Rolls Royce. You're not a PT Beard. They tell me you're Brick City, USA. You can't shoot the J, baby. You better stay with the big skin.
It is Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting. You're listening to the Sports Report. Now we turn our attention to college basketball, Steve.
Yes, at Dukie V, his team, the Duke Blue Devils, got beat at the last second by Syracuse. And in the only top 10 matchup this week, Louisville came to North Carolina, and my beloved Tar Heels beat them. And we took an opportunity to get a couple of Roy Williams' post-game comments.
Let's get one thing cleared up, too. I just heard about one fan being ejected, sent out at halftime, but yelling something at Rick, and I don't like that. I mean, we're North Carolina. We don't have to be like everybody else. You can raise Cain and you can boo, but you don't have to sing. Stuff that we as coaches have to put up with, I hope that never happens again at North Carolina. And I apologize to Rick, and I don't know what was said, but cheer like crazy for us. But I know some of the junk that I have to listen to on the road is not what I enjoy. So, but other than that, feel fantastic.
And now Steve is joined by Paul Banks from the sportsbank.net.
Paul, welcome to the Weekend Sports Report. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Making the talk show circuit. I just went from one talk show straight into this one. And we covered some of the same territory, so I'm pretty happy. You can tell March is almost here.
Absolutely, which is the best time of the year as we get into college hoops. So let's talk a little bit about some of the action from Wednesday night. I won't allude to it because I know you didn't watch these games, but it was certainly exciting if you were watching on ESPN that Syracuse upset Duke, which, of course, that thrills me to no great end on a last-second shot. That was, the graduate transfer from Colorado State, John Gillum. He had 26 points, including a little bank shot in your honor. With no time left to beat Duke. And then the game after that was North Carolina and Louisville, my alma mater. They beat Louisville 74-63 in the second half, late in the second half. That score was really not indicative. North Carolina was pretty much in control the whole way. Justin Jackson, he had 21 points. He's trying to make a case for himself as player of the year. Have you had a chance at all to see Justin Jackson?
I saw Justin Jackson's highlight reel, those threes, and just the amazing game that he has. The abilities and skill set, how deep his threes were. And then the other thing was a Stillman White. And I think I made a tweet saying that Stillman White is Southern draw for Tracy Abrams, and Tracy Abrams is like a Northern Yankee speak for Stillman White, because you've got his freshman year was 2011. That's crazy.
Well, he went on a Mormon mission. That's why he's still around. But we call him, we jokingly, my friends and I call him Still White Man.
Ah.
Moving into the Big Ten, the main game of note on Wednesday was Minnesota upsetting Maryland in College Park, 89-75. And now, of course, Minnesota has basically jumped themselves back into the equation here. You know, there's several teams. They're all vying for one of those coveted top four spots so that they don't have to play in the first couple days. Maryland losing and Minnesota winning leaps them back into the equation. And, there's several teams. They're all vying to be and get a couple of those spots so that they, don't have to play in the first several rounds of the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, I would think if you're in the top four, you're definitely going to be in the Champions League, metaphorically. You're going to be in I don't see how you could be left out of the NCAA tournament if you reach the top four, because you get that double bye. And it looks like a seven-bid league to me. I would say that the three title contenders, Minnesota, Maryland, Wisconsin, Purdue, and then Northwestern, Minnesota, Michigan State would be – and then – we'll see what happens with Michigan if they can get that seventh slot. Beyond that, though, I think everybody else is kind of out of it.
Yeah, now, You've also, along with me, covered a lot of Northwestern games. You know, is this finally the year Northwestern's going to make it in? You would have thought so when they beat Wisconsin, but they've lost two games to Illinois that they had no business losing.
Yeah, they started at 18-4 or 18-5, and now to be at this point, these are the times that try men souls of Northwestern's fan. I mean, it just must be torture for them, because I see they've got to win at least one of the last three to be safe. If you win two of the last three, I think you have the selection Sunday, and you're not sweating at all. And that's just kind of regular season, regardless of what happens in the Big Ten tournament. But, we've seen Scotty Lindsey. He's emerged into an alpha dog this year. To their credit, they got their signature win. They got their biggest win of the year without him, but he's just not been anywhere close to the same guy he was since he returned from mononucleosis, and the team is not anything close to what they were since he's been back either.
And Northwestern has a big game in Bloomington against Indiana on Saturday night. What's your take on that one?
You know, I kind of like their odds there. I kind of like, I think Indiana's really, as the year's gone on, the pressure's, I mean, Crean's been snapping at people. He's been calling out his players. Injuries have really hurt him. Things seem to be getting worse for them. I think there's a possibility we could be talking about a coaching search there. I'm really looking forward to the home finale, and I hope I'll see you there. I hope we'll be there for the big one at home against Purdue. And see, Purdue could be celebrating a Big Ten title that day, or Northwestern could really be getting a statement win there.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I'm definitely going to try to make that game. So let's turn to the rankings, and you know it's so much fun to be bracketology, and I mean a lot of it is just mental jocculation here as people are trying to project what's going to happen out, but of course they did release at one point the committee who they have, but a lot's changed since then. So I'm basically going off of ESPN, and their number one seeds, they've got Kansas, they've got Gonzaga, they've got Villanova, which I would say pretty much all deserved. And then Joe Lunardi's got my Tar Heels as the number one seed in the South, which probably doesn't make you feel good if you're an Oregon, an Arizona, or a UCLA fan.
Yeah, it really is the new bracketology show. That's definitely a made-for-TV kind of thing. They obviously took it from the college football rankings reveal, and this is the first time they've done it. And they're showing a big television bias there, because people don't stay up late and watch the Pac-12, and people literally and figuratively sleep on the Pac-12. It's such a strong league with all those big teams up at the top, and they got left out. But, if they all get two seeds, then I guess there won't be a lot of complaints. I like Arizona the best out of that bunch. I think they've got the best overall balance. I would pick them to go to the farthest out of the Pac-12 teams. And I really do like your Tar Heels as a national title contender. I really think they've got a good set of veterans, and, came oh so close last year. I'd have to put them in the conversation.
Well, they listen. I don't know if how the brackets work out, but I would suppose that if Villanova kept winning and they kept winning, they would face somewhere in the final four or the final two. And, of course, everybody in the state of North Carolina, except for the Duke and the North Carolina State fans, would certainly like to see a rematch with a different outcome this time around. But what makes North Carolina really strong, and it's going to really help them out once in ACC tournament as well as in the NCAA tournament, is they really play 10 deep. And you can see Roy, he'll easily sub out four and five guys at a time. And, you've got three great big men. You've got a couple guys in the backcourt. You've got Justin Jackson, of course, who plays that floater, that small forward, big guard, who's just shooting. And you alluded to that. He actually, I saw a still. He shot that three-pointer, one of his three-pointers, from the painted North Carolina sign, which is almost midway between half court and the three-point line.
Yeah, I saw that. I think I saw maybe it was the Carolina account that tweeted, three from the logo, and he did it on both sides because the state is so long and stretches that he was in. I mean, how do you defend against that?
Oh, and if you bring a guy out on him, and if especially if he's a bigger man, he'll burn him. He'll go work. He's really well off the pick and roll, whether it's dribbling or even taking a pass off the pick and roll, and he pops that shot. And then the team has gotten so good about looking inside. So one of the things they lost early on the season to Georgia Tech, and what Georgia Tech did was play the zone against them. So teams were playing this packed-in zone, and the team started shooting better. Jackson shooting better. Joel Berry shooting a lot better than he did last year. In fact, they shot 39% from the three-point line in the game against Louisville. So if you pack back in, they now have – and they have the confidence to shoot over it. Another guy who stepped up this year for them is Luke May. He's a sophomore. His father played football for the Tar Heels in the 80s, and he's 6'8", 6'9", but he's got a nice little shot from the top of the key. He's even made a couple of three-pointers. So that's really tough because you need to put a big guy on him, and he can also drive the hoop a little bit.
Now, what exactly happened last night that set Pitino off?
Well, as Rick Pitino was walking at halftime, somebody yelled at him. Literally, they said, "Pitino, you suck." And his team was not playing particularly well. And so somehow this got just blown out of his mind. And he just turned around and he just didn't have it. And he offered an explanation after the game, and actually had the sound of that. Was he was saying, well, you know what? I expect the students, you know, to say stuff like that, but not from a adult fan, as he put it. So he took exception to something, and I saw Mike Wilbon on PTI saying how he'd been with Pitino and heard much worse. So Pitino just must have had a really short fuse on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I was gonna say he probably hears that, you know, 20 times a night every game.
Yeah, so it's just well. You know, there's a lot going on over there, and they're also trying to stay in the mix. So it certainly seems a bit of an overreaction to, you know, you've been at games. You know that fans heckle and they yell and they say stuff, and then the kids certainly have no filter. They'll say whatever they want to say in this day and age. You would think that a coach, especially someone who's been around as long as Pitino has, would have had a lot thicker skin, but he just kind of lost it at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly been called worse this week.
All right. Well, before I let you go, please give our listeners a little bit of an insight as to what the sportsbank.net is.
Well, the sportsbank.net is now expanded into the bank.news, so I can do more non-sports stories. But we've got some NBA mock drafts up there right now. Did an NFL mock draft yesterday. A lot of college hoops. We have a whole North Carolina section. We have a whole Duke section. A lot of Big Ten, and we just, you know, news, entertainment, movies. I was just at the Writers Museum in Chicago. I was at the press conference for that on Tuesday when it opened. Food and drink, you name it. A lot of great stuff going on.
Excellent. All right, so that's the sportsbank.net, and what's the other one? What's the other new domain?
The bank.news, and the bank.news simply refers to the sportsbank.net, and you can find me on Twitter, and it's at Paul M. Banks, and you can mean tweet and call me names there on Twitter, and I'll try to have a tougher skin than Pitino does for it.
Okay, Paul Banks from the sports.net and the bank.news, thanks so much for being with us.
Good times, really enjoyed it.
Steve Leventhal with Paul Banks from the sportsbank.net. Now we bring in John Poulter once again from Toronto, and let's touch on hockey news right now, John.
Well, it continues to heat up. You know, we've seen all of these coaching changes, and some of these teams have played really well once they've changed coaches. Montreal not being one of them, although it's a very short sample size because they haven't played very many games since Claude Julien came on board. But if I was a Canadiens fan, I think I'd start to be getting just a wee bit concerned. They're sitting there in the Atlantic Division with only a 2-point lead over the Ottawa Senators, and the Senators have played three less games. Even Toronto's only 4 points behind them, and Toronto has played one less game. So I think there's trouble in Montreal. They got off to that great start, but they're 2-7-1 in their last 10, which prompted the coaching change. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But on the western side and in the Chicago area, what can you say about the way the Blackhawks have come back and started to play well lately? And specifically, Jonathan Toews, Tuesday night in Minnesota, a 5-point night, +5. here's a guy that clearly comes to play when you need a guy to come and play and lead your team. And we talked about this off air last week, Steve and I, and we came to the conclusion that Mr. Quenneville was quite correct when he said that Taves was starting to get it going. And certainly in the last couple of games, we've seen that. So Blackhawk fans, I think a lot of positive things to sit back and look at and be pleased with. Whether that lead that Minnesota has got is going to be able to be clawed back is going to be very interesting. I think we're in for the last 6 weeks of hockey that's going to be real, real interesting to watch.
And then Thursday night, Patrick Kane, he notched a hot trick, and we actually have some audio of him talking about that.
Yeah, it feels good. I think beneficiary of some nice plays by my teammates tonight and a couple fortunate bounces too. So, but I thought overall our team played a pretty strong game. Obviously, you know, it's nice to get a lead like that and keep building off it, even after a little bit of a lapse there in the first. So good effort by pretty much everyone tonight. Those guys definitely carried the load last game and have been playing very strong for the past, you know, six, seven, eight games. So you see the way they play, they control the puck, they fending off checks, get to the net. I think it's definitely a little bit of motivation. So, and you know, couldn't come in a better time, especially with the stretch run where we need to win games and you know, going into playoffs.
Well, Patrick Kane summed it up pretty well. There's clearly some competition between the top two lines of the Blackhawks, the number one line obviously being the line with Taves, and we talked about how Taves has been playing so well lately. Kane's not a bad guy to have on your second line, and he's probably one of the few wingers in the league that drives a line. You generally think of the guy that drives a forward line as being the center, and certainly that's the case with the Taves line, regardless of who you put on his flanks. But Kane might be the guy, one of the few guys in the league today, who drives the game or drives the line from the wing. He's clearly a very special talent. Good quick hands and three goals on Thursday night against Arizona when it looked like the Blackhawks might be getting in back into that little habit of giving up leads. It was tied 3-3, but then they pulled away. And again, I think the Blackhawks are starting to come together at the right time, and that all that veteran leadership on that team can't hurt them at all, and it's good to see.
Okay, let's move to soccer. And Steve, some personnel moves, huh?
Well, there's some personnel moves, yes. The Leicester City, who won the championship last year in a rather unique fashion, who is now in danger of falling out of the league, they made a move, right, John?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise on one hand, and on the other, it wasn't. Claudio Ranieri let go on Thursday afternoon after just over a season and a half in charge at Leicester. He managed the Miracle last year. A little bit sorry to see him go. I don't really know what happened there. They were playing so well last year. They beat all of the odds. I think they were 5,000-1 to win the Premier League.
Yep.
Clearly, he did something right this year. They're back to where they've been for the last 4 or 5 years, and he paid the price. Whether there was a losing of the dressing room or not, we don't know. There's been speculation that that's the case, but both the club chairman and the interim manager, the caretaker managers, they call them in that sport, both clearly said that he did not lose the room. It was just one of those things they felt was time for a change. My guess is if Ranieri wants to work again, it will be his choice, and he'll get offers, and whether he wants to work again, who knows. But certainly he should be proud of what he accomplished last year with Leicester.
Well, and if there's ever a league where they recycle the coaches like nobody's business, it's the English Premier League. Okay.
Yeah, Sam Allardyce has probably managed half the teams in the league.
Yeah, okay. One other quick note. The English Premier League, there's a lot of action at the top. The Spanish League is usually a two-team league between Real Madrid and Barcelona. And the only reason I mention this is Real Madrid lost a game at Valencia. And the meaning to me is, of course, I've been to Valencia. I was there last year. My brother spent a year there. And that's kind of like a middle-of-the-road team knocking off the Yankees, the Dodgers, or even the Chicago Cubs. And lastly, talk about some of the rumors that are swirling around your team, Manchester United, and, you know, their aging veteran Wayne Rooney. Quickly.
Well, Mr. Rooney doesn't have his place, automatic place in the first team anymore. He's a big contract. It'll be tough to unload him. If he wants to leave, I suspect they will let him leave because it'll be a huge payroll relief for them. But as within the last day or so, he's come out and clearly said he wants to stay at Manchester United. So perhaps he's prepared to accept a secondary role. And if so, more power to him.
John Poulter from Toronto. A lot of good information on the show today, John. Thanks very much for coming on the Sports Report, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, my pleasure as always, guys. Look forward to chatting next week.
All right, we will do it. And we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Sports Report. Remember, you can catch us at internetfm.com and also kwwradio.com. New shows are posted about 3 p.m. on Fridays each week. So get your sports fix right here, internetfm.com or kwwradio.com. So for intern Josh Sclair, for Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline USA Network, for our professor of sports, John Poulter, for Paul Bank from sportsbank.net, and for Steve Leventhal at SRN Broadcasting in Chicago, I'm Packer Dave saying thanks a lot for listening. Have a great week. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Get some beer, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
Be your own boss. Listen to this from Home Improvement USA. Homebesters, the We Buy Ugly Houses people, is America's number one real estate franchise. Since 1996, their franchise owners have purchased over 75,000 houses. Typically, you'd pay cash for ugly homes whose owners are in difficult situations. Get them in selling condition and make excellent profits. There's solid backing from Homebesters National Advertising, and franchises are $18,000 with some liquid capital needed for tools and startup. Let's talk about it.
Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. That's 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. Be your own boss. Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-718-1731. 800-718-1731. 800-718-1731.
Be your own boss. Listen to this from Home Improvement USA. Ideal Furniture can set you up with your own furniture distribution center. You can offer name brand mattress and furniture at a fraction of the cost of traditional retail stores. They combine factory direct pricing with their exclusive, no-cost furniture broker marketing system that allows you to substantially undercut retail store prices while generating amazing profits. Getting started with Ideal Furniture is easy with an initial investment under $10,000. They've been around for decades, have over 110 distribution centers across the country, and are rated A+ with the Better Business Bureau and other consumer review sites. Let us walk you through it.
Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. That's 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. Be your own boss. Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Pat Hughes, radio voice of the Chicago Cubs, and I would like to invite you to check out Baseball Voices, the Hall of Fame series. These commemorative audio tributes celebrate the greatest baseball announcers of all time. Harry Carey, Jack Buck, Bob Uecker, Harry Callis, Marty Brenneman, Red Barber, Milo Hamilton, and Dave Niehaus. These CDs are a collection of highlights, history, humorous stories, and Hall of Fame speeches. Available now at baseballvoices.com. That's baseballvoices.com.